This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
Brooks Koepka is your leader at Augusta as they continue play. Round two, Friday at the Masters. He's 12 under par. Got a four-shot lead on two guys. One is obvious, Jon Rahm, one of the best players in the world. The other one is an amateur named Sam Bennett, who's not going to get paid for playing so well in the biggest tournament of them all. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80. You can check us out on your smart speaker by just saying play ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, the number if you want to jump in with us, 888-729-3776. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Coley Harvey. We go back to the NBA because there are a couple of teams, I think, as we enter the playoffs, that this might kind of be their last chance to get it done. Otherwise, there are consequences. And I guess I want to start with Philly first, because I think if they don't make the conference finals, Coley, I think at the very least, I don't know about Harden and the future there, but I think at the very least, they're going to be making a coaching change with Doc Rivers.
Ooh, you know, that's heavy to think about, but you might be right, just because this is a team that has, when it comes to the postseason, it's underachieved the last several years. And again, the Harden question is going to be a question that does get asked throughout these playoffs, which is unfortunate for the players they have to think about and worry about. But it is true, and it's a fair question. Is this going to be it? I don't know. You know, I would like to think that Harden would want to continue to see what they can build here. But again, we've seen the way that he's been bouncing around team to team, trying to look for that ring. Even the reports of him possibly wanting to go back to Houston, which could be a lot harder to get a ring there. Excuse me. But I think it bears watching for sure as we
no doubt. Also, so then the Celtics are kind of another interesting case here. After going to the finals last year, expectations are obviously high for them. But Jaylen Brown is going to be entering the last year of his contract coming up. And my history with this is, if an NBA player hits unrestricted free agency, there is a good chance that that player is going to be leaving and going somewhere else in free agency. I thought what he said on Key J and Max was interesting this morning, in part because not of what he said, but how he said it.
Yes.
With Jason Fitz. Take a listen to this.
What do you want for your future?
What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of speculation about, does Jaylen Brown see a long-term future with the Celtics? We spent hours talking about what the future looks like for you in Boston. What do you want?
I want to win a championship, of course. I think that's what every player and every athlete plays a game for, is to win. So that would be nice to start.
Do you want to do that in Boston?
Absolutely. Why not? I think we got a great opportunity right now here. So I'm looking forward to the playoffs.
If I had to identify the most interesting part of that soundbite, it's a... It's... Explain what you're feeling when you hear that answer. It was not exactly an emphatic yes from Jaylen Brown.
It was not, and it didn't sound like a ringing endorsement to stay in the city of Boston. And what's really kind of interesting is just last night, he earned the Red Bauerback Award, which goes annually to the player that best exemplifies what it means to be a Celtic. So it's kind of like, I don't know if Boston was just like, okay, let's give him this to kind of go on and get him thinking about staying here and what it means to be a Celtic and how important he really is to the franchise. But that being said, yeah, that did not inspire a lot of confidence right away. Again, the rest of his answer, you know, he said what he had to say, which is, of course, you know he would want to win a championship if it's in the
cards. If I'm the Celtics, I'm doing everything I can to keep him, because I think that position is the most important, hardest to find. And I think he and Tatum together, if you keep those two guys together, they're going to win a championship at some point. But Coley, here's the crazy thing. We talked about two teams, right? The Celtics and the Sixers. One of those two, just based on the alignment of the postseason, is not going to make the conference finals. We already said, okay, Philly doesn't make it. It's going to cost Doc his job, or maybe even more shakeup than that. You mentioned the Harden-Houston rumors. And then if the Celtics don't make it, I think Jaylen Brown becomes one of the most interesting stories of the offseason. Do they want to get him all the way to free agency, or is there a way that they would consider making a trade with Jaylen Brown? So the loser of that second round series, boy, there is a lot at stake hanging in the balance there.
Yeah, the future of your organization probably could depend on, and not just depending on how, but when in the playoffs that exit could come. You know, to your point, if it's it is an early exit for the Sixers, then oh man, that certainly spells not rebuild, but breaking it down for a little bit. Yep. If it's the Celtics, if it's early, maybe not quite as desperate. But when it comes to Jaylen Brown, I'm right there with you that you've got to be throwing the kitchen sink at him because this has been the glue player for your postseason run the last few years. He and Jason Tatum, I mean, they have formed such a tandem when it comes to the playoffs and when it comes to those clutch moments. I just think you've got to make sure that you keep that particular core in place if you're Boston.
Yep. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN App. I'm Aaron Goldhammer with Coley Harvey. There's one obvious team that jumps out in the West, and it is the Warriors, okay? I just think they're getting older. I don't know how much longer Draymond is going to be there. There was this thought for a while, Coley, that with Wiseman and Kuminga that they could just keep the magic rolling on from one generation to the next. Kuminga's played a little bit better. Wiseman obviously isn't there even anymore. So it does feel like the opportunities for them to wrap up a fifth or a sixth, that those are starting to run a little bit short. I just wonder at his age how much longer Steph, you know, first and foremost, is going to be able to do this.
Yeah. You know, and he's been having some of these injuries the last couple of years that have kind of made that even more of a question mark in terms of how is his stability going to be from a health standpoint. And he's what, 34, I believe, now. He's getting a little bit older, has certainly proven what he's needed to prove in the league. He is, without a doubt, made his mark. But that being said, I just still think, and I mentioned this in the last hour, that this is a team that when it comes to this time of year, I know they haven't put it all together throughout the season.
Totally. I totally agree with
that. They're just teams that know how to get it done when the lights are the brightest, and I think that this is that team.
I can't believe we're at a place where if I'm the Kings, I want LeBron. But they sort of have it in their own hands tonight. If they beat the Warriors, there's a chance Golden State falls to the play-in. And then all of a sudden they get to deal with the Lakers, which I'd much rather have that than the defending champs coming rolling into my building. One other team in the West that I think is worth mentioning in this conversation about, you know, what's at stake, whose title window is closing. I mean, how many more postseason runs? You know, Denver's got Jokic, but how many more postseason runs are they going to have if they come up short with sort of this core intact in the same way? I don't know if they could run it back if they don't get to the conference finals.
Well, you know, the thing that does work in their favor is being in the West, where there is a little more fluidity, it feels. Whereas, you know, in the East, it kind of feels like you kind of have those set teams, even if the windows are closing for certain teams in the East. But at least there's this level of fluidity where they could run it back. I think a lot of people, at least outside of basketball, were a little surprised to see the Nuggets do what all they've done this year. You know, not surprised that they were a good team, but to be as good as they were, as consistent as they were throughout the season.
But this is a regular season thing, and all anybody's going to remember there.
Oh, you know, what are you doing in the playoffs?
I'm from there, and it's a weird basketball market, but I could care less about Jokic winning the MVP. I want Jokic to win the NBA Finals MVP this point. Canty and Carlin is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits, you can go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today by going to progressive.com/careers. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Coley Harvey. And we keep the NBA talk going and head out to the hotline. We bring in ESPN NBA reporter Tim Bontemps. Tim, we were talking about who has the most at stake, whose title window could be closing. I came to the realization either Philly or Boston, one of those two teams is not going to make the conference finals the way the East playoffs is laid out. So for the team that misses out on the conference finals, what do you think the consequences would be?
Well, it's funny because I'll get to that, but I kind of want to go back to the beginning of your question, which is what teams and players have the most pressure on them in these playoffs? And because you guys were talking about Denver before I came on, I think the answer to that, both those questions, are Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. Now, I realize that, you know, people have just anointed the Suns as the team everybody, you know, generally thinks is going to come out of the West. But to your point, Nikola Jokic is possibly going to be the three-time MVP of the league. If not, he's going to finish second after winning twice in a row and averaging, you know, near, if not a triple-double this season. And Denver is going to have the number one seed in what's the weakest Western Conference in recent memory, if maybe ever. And is a dominant home court advantage team with one of the best players in the world leading it, right? That if you just say in a vacuum, hey, a conference is down, there's a number one seed that has a two-time MVP and has won 90% of its home games, you would say, all right, that team should win the West, right? So to me, looking at this, I think Denver needs to make a deep run, and if not make the finals, make the conference finals and make a real legitimate playoff run outside the bubble for the first time. And if they don't, I think that opens up all sorts of questions about what the future of that franchise looks like, what the future of that core looks like, and whether you can win with Nikola Jokic as your best player deep in the playoffs. So, I mean, we'll get to Boston and Philly after, but I just wanted to chime in on that because I know people sort of dismiss Denver and dismiss Jokic, but to me, there's just so much pressure on them to win in these playoffs because I think it opens up pretty massive existential questions about the franchise going forward if they don't.
Tim Coley Harvey here. You basically just kind of said what I was trying to get out, but I didn't say it anywhere near as cleanly as you. So thank you for that. I do want to stick in the West with you, though, right now. How good are the Kings when it comes to the playoffs? What can we expect from this team?
Well, it's a really interesting question, Coley, because I was just talking about this on TV with Max Kellerman, and he was sort of just saying, well, why is everybody dismissing Sacramento? Why is everybody, why are they not looking at them like they're looking at Denver? And I mean, the reasons are the Kings are a bad defensive team, which typically does not work in the playoffs, right? And at the end of the day, as good as De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis have been, they're not on the same level, it would seem to me, as these other guys they're going up against, right? They're not as good as AD and LeBron. They're not as good as Steph and Draymond and Clay. They're not as good as Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. They're not as good as, Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, so they certainly have had a great season. I think the fact that they're limping into the playoffs is not the best look, right? They just lost the other day to the San Antonio Spurs in pretty convincing fashion. They lost to Dallas on Wednesday. A Dallas team that's been terrible for the past month and a half. So we'll see what they look like in the playoffs, quite possibly in a first-round matchup with the Golden State Warriors, who they're probably going to sit everybody against tonight. But look, their season's been such a success. If they lose even in a sweep in the first round to Golden State, I don't think anybody should look at their season any less of a success than they look at it now. But I do think their offense is good enough, and De'Aaron has been good enough in clutch situations that they can at least be competitive in the first round. But me personally, if they're playing the Clippers or the Warriors or even the Lakers, it's going to be hard for me to pick them to win a series.
All right, Tim, I promise eventually we'll get back to the Celtics and the Sixers thing. But as long as we're talking about the Kings, hang on a second, because if I was them, I would not be resting everybody for this game. I would want to try to get the Lakers and not the Warriors in the first round. Why don't you think they would be approaching it that way?
Well, it's a good question. I think you can make that argument if you want. I mean, frankly, you could also make the argument that the Warriors are 9-30 on the road, and if you're going to pick a team in the first round to play, you might as well pick a team that can't win a road game if you're going to have home court advantage, right? So you could argue that. I would rather play the Lakers myself, but I also do think that there's something to the fact that if you're and this sort of works in reverse, too. There's been so much talk about, you have to avoid Phoenix. You can't play Phoenix. You got to play somebody else. I'm of the belief that if you are worried about who you're going to play in the first round of the playoffs to that degree, you're not a real contender to do anything anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that's a losing mentality to be going into the playoffs going, oh, man, we got to avoid playing Phoenix. We got to try to get Sacramento. We got to try to do this or try to do that. I think you just play who's in front of you. Because if you really think you can make a run, you're going to have to beat really good teams. You're just going to have to at some point. And I think you're just letting the wrong stuff get in your head if you're obsessing about who you're going to play, especially if you're a team like the Kings. And it's really, they could play one of four teams, right? It's not like they're guaranteed to get the Lakers if it goes that way. They could get the Pelicans. They could get the Clippers. They could get anybody. So to me, I think they've got to do what's best for them. Their guys have looked pretty tired. If they need to give them a couple days off and give them time to get rested up and ready to go after what's been a pretty long season. All those guys have been healthy. Basically, none of them missed games. I understand what they're doing, and I don't think it makes a dramatic difference which of these teams they get in the first round.
Tim, you're sounding like a coach with that sounds like a loser's mentality. Man, you got me fired up right now. I'm ready to run through a brick wall for somebody right now, too. I do want to go take us back to the East. We were just talking about the Celtics and the Sixers. Philly, you know, this is a team that just got blown out by the Heat last night, but a couple nights before that, they had that big performance from Embiid, 52 points, 13 boards. What can we make of this Sixers team as they start to head into the playoffs? Are they going to be playing like they did against the Celtics, or are we going to see a team like they did last night against the Heat?
Well, I mean, look, last night's game against the Heat, they had literally nothing to play for. And as Doc Rivers said, both during the game to Jared Greenberg and afterwards, they played like a team with nothing to play for, right? I mean, they were out there basically getting some cardio in and then going home for the night. So I wouldn't really take any stock in that game. To go back to Aaron's original question, I mean, that second-round series, I have been targeting covering the second-round series between Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly, whichever two of those teams were playing, since the first day of the season, for just the reason that Aaron laid out. Like, whoever loses that series, be it Philly or Boston, there's going to be some pretty existential questions about that team going forward. If Boston loses, you've got the future of Jaylen Brown hanging in the balance, right? We'll see if he makes All-NBA and is eligible for the Supermax. If he's not, then there's going to be some real decisions on both sides in terms of whether Jaylen's willing to extend off his current deal. And if he's not, then are the Celtics going to go into next season and then potentially go being non-restricted free agent next summer? And then you have the Sixers with James Harden, who could be a free agent this summer. And if they lose in the second round, it's the team that Joel Embiid has said is the best team he's been on in a Philadelphia 76er uniforms. I think Philly is a bit unfortunate in that I do think the three best teams in the NBA are the three best teams in the Eastern Conference, and Philly is probably the third best team, and therefore the third best team in the league might be out in the second round of the playoffs. And if they were in the West, I think they would walk to the finals, personally. So, you know, yeah, look, I mean, there's going to be real consequences probably for either one of those teams if they lose in the second round, and real questions about what their future is, which is what makes that series, on top of the fact that you've got a couple, you know, long-standing rivals playing, that's what makes it, to me, such a fascinating series, because there really is a lot more on the line than just the trip to the conference finals. It could shape what those teams look like for the next couple seasons or more.
You can listen to Tim Bontemps with Brian Windhorst in the Hoop Collective Mondays and Fridays, available wherever you get your podcasts. He's an ESPN NBA reporter. As punishment for redirecting the first question, I'm going to make you answer this, and I'm going to hold you to it.
Sure.
Who is the next big star in the NBA to change teams, Tim? Mm.
Interesting question. How are we defining a star? And I'm not saying that to try to get out of it, but what level player are we talking about?
I'm talking stops SportsCenter in its tracks, gets you to come off of vacation if you're on vacation when it happens.
Well, that's an incredibly short list of players. I mean, I'm trying to think of who. I mean, it's kind of funny. We're in an interesting spot where, you know, not a lot of those guys are really going to be necessarily available anytime soon, right? So, yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to duck it. I don't have a great answer to that. But what I will say is I think this summer has the potential to see a ton of significant movement in the league, because if you look at the way things are right now, like, we just talked, we spent most of the segment talking about how wide open the West is, right? Mm. If you look across both conferences, there's just a ton of parity and a ton of teams that are more or less the same. And when you have a bunch of teams like that that are more or less the same, that means everybody has about the same expectations. I mean, look, we spent all this time talking about, you know, can Golden State get out of the West? Can the Lakers get out of the West? Can the Clippers get out of the West? You know what? None of those teams have home court advantage in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs.
Right.
That's fair.
So you're going to be talking about a lot of teams that have big time disappointment about what their seasons have looked like. And when you have teams that are really disappointed about their seasons, that leads to significant change in the off season. And so I think when you look ahead to this summer, I think that there's a lot of guys and a lot of teams that could be examining what their futures look like. And as I thought more about it, I mean, the two sort of most obvious answers to your question are James Harden and Kyrie Irving, because both those guys will be free agents this summer.
Right.
And they're probably the two most prominent free agents this summer. And maybe they'll both stay with the Sixers and Mavs, and maybe they'll leave, but they're the ones who have the most immediate direct ability to change their destination. So I would say those guys kind of by default, but I think that these playoffs have the potential to be as wild as any we've seen in recent memory. And I think as a result of that, this summer, with the new CBA in place, with a lot of teams looking to shake things up after disappointing playoffs, I think it's got a chance to be a pretty wild summer from a transactional standpoint with guys moving around the league.
Well, Tim, it's going to be a busy season for you. Get some rest, and the playoffs are coming. Appreciate it. It's Tim Bontemps, ESPN NBA reporter, joining us here on Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio. Up next, one of the most popular sports movies ever, debuted 30 years ago today. We will relitigate some things from The Sandlot. Next, I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Coley Harvey. This is ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Canty and Carlin Podcast.
We're playing a song about thunder because we are in another rain delay. The rain coming in here, hitting us during the show. Wow, Coley. We're in another rain delay at Augusta at the Masters. Brooks Koepka, a four-shot lead. Canty and Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Sirius XM Channel 80, you can listen on your smart speaker. All you have to do is ask to play ESPN Radio. Here comes, get the thunder ready. Here comes the sports god down from the heavens to... 888-SAY-ESPN is our number, 888-729-3776. And the sports god, Coley, has declared that we celebrate and honor The Sandlot, which came out 30 years ago today. And I think it's one of the best, though not the best, baseball movie of all time.
I have to go with the best. And my reasoning is this. Look, I know. But the thing is, I was a little bit younger than the kids in the movie at the time that the movie came out. So I've watched The Sandlot easily hundreds of times in my life. And it always brings back such fond memories of not just the movie, but even playing in the backyard with my friends. I mean, I was a baseball guy before anything else, and I still am. That's my favorite sport. So The Sandlot is my number one baseball movie. Yes, technically there are better baseball movies that were made, but it's still my number one.
So, I mean, first of all, I thought Moneyball was great. And at Major League, just in terms of like building the drama for a moment and a... Major League 2.
I'm kidding.
As somebody who's biased and in Cleveland, you know, the reality is, like, for many years, the Major League last at bat was the greatest moment in Indians modern history. Going all the way back to the greatest game your team ever played was actually in a movie until 95 and 97 when they made the World Series. All right, I have a couple of nitpicks with The Sandlot. Can we go through a couple of these and then... Okay, first of all, the Babe Ruth autographed baseball.
Yes, yeah.
I find it very hard to believe.
Yes, I'm with you.
that they hadn't heard of Babe Ruth, and then that no one said, oh, look who signed this ball before it got clubbed over the fence so that the beast could protect it. Like, no one noticed that the ball was signed and who it was signed by. This didn't occur to anybody.
I don't care who you are, whether you're a kid or an adult. First thing you do when you look at a baseball, a brand new shiny baseball, you're rolling it around in your hand, you're feeling the seams, you're reading everything on it. And if you're a kid that sees not baby, but Babe Ruth, what are you going to do? Why are you going to play with that ball? So I'm absolutely with you on that.
Totally unbelievable. And then once you hit that ball over the wall, I mean, I don't care how afraid you are of the neighbor or of the James Earl Jones guy who lives in the house. I'm sorry, you're knocking on the door and you're getting your Babe Ruth autographed baseball back in 100%. Two freaking seconds. 100%. And not building some kind of crazy erector set that makes for a better movie, but a much less plausible plot line.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It's 100% pure fiction. That's the reason why you got to go through all the machinations, you know, telling the ghost story of the man who lives next door and the beast that lived next door. You know, you got to play up that drama. That's part of the charm of the movie. But right, is it believable? Absolutely not.
Here is my third thing. In 2023, if Squints tries to pull that move with Wendy Peppercorn, hauled away
in handcuffs.
Handcuffs. Yes. Agree or disagree?
100% agree, even if he's 11 years old or whatever. Different time. He can't do that. Not now.
No. Nope. That is it. Certainly you're not going to get married to her later, which is one of the most improbable. Okay, then the end. I know everybody likes, you know, Benny the Jet Rodriguez pinch running at third and stealing home as a Los Angeles Dodger or whatever. But if Benny the Jet was really that good of a player, right, why is he pinch running? Like, if he's got enough speed to steal home, wouldn't he be starting the game and playing center field?
Can't he, like, hit a double or something or a triple to start off a rally, you know, hit a bomb deep in the yard? I don't know. Do something to show off that he was still a good ball player, not just a fast ball player. I'm with you on that. But again, it's still a great movie. I love it.
Look, I'm not taking anything. It is a great movie. It's just, as I've grown up, these are the things that maybe I just can't enjoy things anymore. But these are the things that bother me. And then my last one is, okay, you're James Earl Jones. You're however old he's supposed to be in the movie. You know, a 96-year-old blind guy or whatever. I don't care how nice these kids are. And I don't care how bad you feel for them. If you have a baseball signed by the entire 1927 Yankees, you're not handing that to an 11-year-old under any circumstances. That ball belongs in a museum in Cooperstown, New York, not in someone's closet, and certainly not in the hands of some grubby little 11-year-old kid who didn't know who Babe Ruth was 10 minutes ago.
That is the funny part, though. The kid didn't know who he was, and you're still going to give him the ball. I just like how he's like, oh, George? You talking about George? Oh yeah, I know George.
George. I'm sure a lot of people called Babe Ruth George during his playing career.
But he played against Babe, you know, according to the legend of the movie. So, he knew George real well.
Would you celebrate a Sandlot 2? Like is this a
Sandlot 2?
What? No.
Yes, there's a Sandlot. There is a Sandlot 2.
What happens in Sandlot 2?
Nowhere near as good. You know, to be honest, I don't even really remember the plot line because it was just that bad of a movie. But nowhere near.
Who's in it? The great Hambino? Does Hambino come back?
Or no, I don't think any of the kids. I'm pretty sure. Oh,
get at it. Then I can't say that it's really another Sandlot.
I think Squints might be in it, but not as that character. I think he's a different character. This is me going off of memory from however long it's been since that movie came out.
All right, well, I'm going to have to dig in and watch some clips from the Sandlot, too. In the meantime, did a walk-off home run put one player deep in the doghouse? We'll talk about that next. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Coley Harvey. This is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Canty and Carlin, the podcast.
It went from the greatest day of Garrett Mitchell's life to him being in the doghouse real quick. It's Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 on your smart speaker. You can tell it to play ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll have more on this story coming up, but we're just looking at footage right now, Coley, of a tree that collapsed behind the 15th green at Augusta National. We're in a weather delay, but it looks like Augusta wind came and knocked over. And I'm not talking about a small tree. This is a massive tree that went down. So we'll keep you updated what's going on at Augusta and how that might affect the tournament. And obviously hoping that nobody got hurt when this tree went down. We'll keep you posted what's going on there. In the meantime, you heard the highlight there from WTMJ in Milwaukee. Garrett Mitchell of the Brewers hits a walk-off home run. He's feeling great. He's feeling good. He's feeling awesome. And then all of a sudden he does this in the post-game interview. Take a listen.
You showed that bunt early in the at-bat. What, you're just trying to get on and get a rally going, decided a homer would settle it instead?
You know, I was thinking about this, but when my wife doesn't show up to the games, usually something good happens. So at the going into that at-bat, I was like, man, well, she's not here, so might as well do something fun.
hey, Aaron, I'm not married, so I can't really speak to this, but I don't think I could do that to my wife in front of, you know, a stadium full of people and thousands of people watching on TV and now on the internet. I don't think I could do that.
So Haley Mitchell, Garrett's wife, tweeted back at this video, which was posted by Bally Sports Wisconsin. You won't say it to my face, though. And then she responded to another tweet and said, he did not stutter. Meanwhile, I missed the game because I was busy stocking his fridge. So it's kind of hard to tell, you know, if you're Haley Mitchell, I don't know if you're laughing at this or if you're angry at this, but I guarantee you, you're not showing up at another game for a while, right?
Yeah, you know, I think if I'm the Brewers, I say stay away, you know? You know, just because good things are clearly happening, if you're superstitious that way, of course.
So do you think, Garrett, is it a superstition thing that you think is going on here, or do you think he's saying, okay, my wife is here, oh, squeezing the bat a little tighter, I'm pressing, I can't relax because I feel like I want to perform so well and impress her?
I think it's a superstition. I'm not a pro athlete. I've never been a pro athlete, never will be a pro athlete. Unfortunately, I'd love to, but I don't think that an athlete is standing in the batter's box at that moment. Oh my gosh, my wife is here. I'm nervous. I can't disappoint her. I've got to. I don't think that's happened. I think it's just purely one of those things that they've probably joked about sitting around at home, like, oh yeah, you didn't show up and I went 3-for-4 today with a homer and a triple or something, you know. And so it's taken on a life of its own among them, but now the rest of the world knows and she's just gonna have to stay away at this point if you're pulling for that team.
Dominic tweeted at, you know, this video with Sophia Minert, who is the interviewer from the Brewers television network. After making the joke with Sophia, Garrett joked that he plays better when Haley isn't at the ballpark. Garrett made sure to say he's excited to spend the off day with her, to which Haley Cruz Mitchell responded, trying not to sleep on the couch. Is that a thing? You're not the right person to answer this because you said it. You're not married.
Right.
My wife has been really mad at me before. Never once has she said, I'm going to make you go sleep on the couch. Now, maybe we have a king size bed, so maybe like she'll be sleeping way on one side to send a message. But never once have I had to go and actually sleep on the couch. Stosh is producing with us today, and he joins the show. Stosh, you got headphones for a second? I just wanted to ask another married guy. Stosh, have you ever actually had to sleep on the couch? No, right? Is that something that actually ever happens?
I'm sure it does. It has not happened to me, thank God.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like such an old school punishment to try to put on somebody to sleep on the couch, but I don't know how practical in the end it really is. But I do think if it's legit that he plays better with her not there,
Hey, you gotta stay home.
You gotta stay home.
Yeah. I do like the fact that she came back and said, hey, look, I was doing something for you. Don't forget about that. That's the reason I wasn't there.
Yeah. It's you know, fans believe in these crazy game day superstition things. I always laugh at fans, like I'll be watching a game with that say things aren't going well and they get up and they switch seats. Like, come on. Do you really believe that there is some higher power saying, oh, yeah, you know, the Orioles are likely to have a better day today because you're not sitting in the same spot on the couch that you were sitting in last week? Yeah. These are the nutty things that sports, let alone fans, but also players believe in, these crazy superstitions.
You know, it goes back to that moment when you're a kid. I just think about myself. I'm from Atlanta. I grew up a big Braves fan, and I didn't mean to rub some salt in the wound, but you mentioned 95 and Cleveland the last segment. So that was a great memory for me. David Justice hitting the home run in the sixth inning of Game 6 of the World Series. Great memory for me.
Yeah, pretty big Eric Gregg strike zone in that game,
Hey, Eric Gregg got the Braves back 2 years later, though, in 97 in the NLCS. So, I had those moments as a kid growing up. I would stay in the exact same spot. I would do the exact same thing. As long as a guy didn't strike out or whatever, I'm going to stay in that spot. I felt like I was having some kind of control.
So somehow in the back of your mind,
I don't think that way.
In the back of your mind, David Justice was like, a young Coley Harvey is standing in the same. I think it is time for me to smash a giant home run now. Or as if there's some karmic energy. You know what it is? As fans, you have no say over how the game goes at all. And you're trying to trick your brain into thinking that you actually do have some impact or some way of conveying a certain energy to make something happen in the game.
Yeah, there's no sense. I mean, that's what I said. As a kid, I was that way. You know, I was that way watching Sandlot.
Oh, I know. I know grown 50-year-old men watching the Cleveland Browns that do this. Tune in NL Battle Sunday as the Braves, speaking of the Braves, host the Padres. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball, 6 o'clock Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Who are the most dangerous play-in teams in the NBA? We discuss next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Canty and Carlin podcast. You can listen to the show live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen on the ESPN app. Canty and Carlin, the podcast.